boxing is an unnatural act. Because everything in it is backwards. You want to move to the left, you don't step left, you push on the right toe. To move right, you use your left toe. Instead of running from the pain, like a sane person would do, you step into it.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's let my boys harmonize here. Mighty Tower of Power, folks. Check them out at towerofpower.com. That is Larry Braggs on lead. Larry's leaving the band after 12 years. They are auditioning lead singers as I speak. I think they've got it down to like three guys. So we'll talk with Emilio Castillo, the band leader, tomorrow. Of course, Emilio is one of my number one boxing fans, but one of my number one guys, period. So we're going to talk with Emilio tomorrow as he goes from one location to another. Bottom line is he's on the road, but he'll spend some time with us tomorrow on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, a Sunday edition goes for 2 hours, 11 a.m. Pacific time to 1 p.m. Pacific time. The first hour is all about boxing. Second hour is all about MMA. We've done our MMA thing. Now we go back to boxing. We bring in pound for pound one of the best officials in the world, folks. And I'm not bragging and boasting because I got him on the phone. I'm not blowing smoke up his skirt. When it comes to referees, there are a few guys that are better, if any, than this next young man I'm talking about, Celestino Ruiz out of Chicago, Illinois. How are you, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing just fine. You a little nervous here or what?
Oh, of course, man. It's always, you know, there's always nerves kicking in when you are getting interviewed. So.
Yeah, even before fights, don't you get a little nervous? I mean, even I get butterflies before I announce fights. Before I used to fight fights, I used to get butterflies. But once the bell rings, the butterflies are gone, right?
That's it. Yeah, everybody gets their little butterflies, but yeah, it's a good butterfly though. Once the bell ring, like you said, it's all about focus and trying to, stay focused and make sure that everything goes right.
Celestino, I was an animal. I was a nervous wreck in the dressing room before fights. I wanted to show up to arenas, wrap my hands, and go in the ring. I didn't like sitting in the dressing room. One night, I fought in the Cow Palace, and like, I don't even want to tell you what year it was, but the bottom line was I was in the 27th bout of the night, okay, the main event of the night. And they had 26 amateur fights before me in two different rings. And I kept seeing these guys coming back on stretchers with broken noses, unconscious, all this kind of good stuff. This is not good on the psyche. You know where I'm coming from?
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. you just want to go in there and get it over with and hope it's over with fast.
Okay. Now, what makes a good referee? You happen to be an outstanding referee. And what makes a good referee? What makes an outstanding referee is they have a little bit extra than a good referee. Well, what is a good referee? Define a good referee to me.
Well, a good referee is the one you hardly see in the ring and just let the guys fight. And basically, you're there just to call any illegal blows or whatever not, and call what you see, and what you see is what you call. And that's what pretty much make a good referee, not a referee that just wants to call every little blows or whatever not. Like if you see a borderline low blow, it's good to kind of warn the guy after the belly, keep them punching up a little bit, but you don't want to break the momentum of the fight.
Okay.
What
happened to the belly button rule? I mean, the rule in boxing was that the cup or the trunks went up to the navel. That's the belly button. Now you see guys wearing trunks up around their ribs, past their liver, and this kind of stuff. And referees, and my good friend John Shirley's one of them. And I hate to say it, pound for pound, one of the better referees in the game. But I watched him in Texas a few months ago, and he had some guy walking around with trunks up around his armpits. I mean, what's going on with that?
Well, usually when I go in the dressing room, I ask to see the cup, and if I see that the cup is over the belly button or so, some of those cups are illegal. I mean, some of those guys, if you let them get away with it, I mean, it's almost like getting in there with a body armor or something like that. But, I would let them know, hey, you can't use that cup. I says, come on, man. I says, where the hell you guys get those cups from? I don't know how they're, getting away with it, but, I kind of enforce it. I tell them, you're not getting in the ring with that cup. If that cup is over your belly button, it's not legal, and therefore I'm going to send you back to the dressing room, and you're going to put on the right type of cup.
But see, you see my point. Other referees don't see my point. They go, oh, what's the big deal about it? Because these guys have never been hit in the body. I mean, you get hit in the body with a kidney belt on, and it's protecting your liver. Guess what? Your liver's not going to get hurt all that much as it would if it was naked.
That's right. That's right. And I think I don't know. I think they make those are custom made cup that I'm not where they get it from. But if you know, they're not really getting them for from ringside or title or anything like that. I don't know where they're getting it from. I don't like those kind of cup, and I do send them back to the dressing room and get the right kind of cup.
Okay. One of the pound-for-pound great referees of all time was Arthur McCanny Sr. Junior, he's a good referee, but Sr. was the guy. Of course, he refereed the fight Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier March 8, 1971, considered the biggest fight in the history of boxing. Yes, eclipsing Floyd Mayweather in any of his fights as far as worldwide attention is concerned. But McCanny was a physical fitness freak. I'll tell you a little story about him. He's the one that got me into doing pull-ups. And I do pull-ups a lot. I have a pull-up bar over my my office room, and every time I walk in, I do 10 pull-ups. I can do 30 now, and in high school, I could do 31 and couldn't break the record for some reason. I get to 30 each time, and started straining, couldn't make 31. But I'm doing pull-ups, and McCanny was doing pull-ups. McCanny was a pull-up freak. He had these nice abs and everything. So one day, Arthur McCanny's bragging about his abs. This is about 20, 25 years ago, and Bone Crusher Smith was in the room, and he's bragging about his abs and the fact that he could take a shot to the gut and the whole nine yards. He was 60-something years old. So Bone Crusher hits him in the stomach and almost kills him, doubles him over, and there's Arthur laying on the floor. But the bottom line is, you know, if you're not ready for a blow, you can't accept the blow. And that's what I try to tell guys. The blows that hurt you are the hooks and the shots that you don't see coming at you.
Yeah, those are the ones that will put you down, yeah.
Those are the ones that put you down. So when you look at your refereeing career now, I'm sure you've made some mistakes here and there, and you've realized that. And do you continue your education? Do you go to training seminars? I know the WBO threw a referee seminar over in Budapest, Hungary that you were part of. But is that part of the continued education of a referee?
I think I would recommend every referee to go to every one of those seminars, because it's the good thing about going to the convention is you always get to hear things that the referee has done and the mistake they've done, and they're willing to share it, and they pretty much you know want you to learn from it, and that's why I love going to the convention, and I listen to different scenarios and how to approach the situation if it happens, and you know and that's the only way you can get better, you know, and there's always room for improvement, and you know that's why you got great referee like Jack Reese and Robert Byrd and all those guys, how they go up there and analyze the fight game and how they will approach the situation and, you know, how to approach the rules and stuff like that. I would recommend every referee to keep going to these seminars because, I mean, you'd be surprised at the stuff that that happened in the ring that you'll probably think it might not ever happen to you, but it will. So, yeah, but I recommend all referees go to these seminars. They're fun, and they're very educational.
Celestino Ruiz is our guest host. He's a Chicago-based referee. And remember when Eddie Cotton talked about that senior moment he had? Referee Eddie Cotton talked about that senior moment. Remember that?
Yes, I did.
Here's what's up, folks. Eddie Cotton was involved in a fight, and the guy that got knocked down, he ended up giving the standing eight count to the guy that did the knockdown, not the guy that got knocked down. So he had sort of had a senior moment there. He's 66 years old.
No. There was a low blow. He wind up taking a point away from the guy that got hit low instead
okay.
of taking it from the guy that gave the low blow.
See?
But you know, those are moments when you know it just happens. I mean, when you're in the spotlight, when you're doing fights on HBO, Showtime, ESPN, or whatever, you have all these lights and the pressure's on you. You know what I'm saying? And you got too much on you and stuff like that, and you're worried about or what other people are saying and stuff like that as far as commentator-wise, and that's a learning experience. That's why I don't worry about what they say. I just worry about the safety of the fighters. And if you start worrying about, you know, what these commentators are going to say or whatever or not, you're gonna lose control of the fight. And I learned that the hard way, and that's why that's one of the scenarios I pretty much share with a lot of referees, too.
Okay, Mr. Ruiz, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Smaller boxing gloves, produce less injuries. I mean, it's been proven time and time again. People laugh when I say this, but, you know, you look at the UFC and the MMA fights from 2001 to 2006 in Nevada, only 2.1% of the people involved suffered brain concussions or small bleeds of the brain, yet 21% of boxers sustained concussions and or brain bleeds because I think the gloves are too big. And I think that safety's gone the wrong way. In other words, the bigger the glove, it sort of like softens the blow and you get hit more and more and more and more and more. Am I right on that? Do you think there should be smaller gloves or bigger gloves? Or what's your feeling on gloves?
I don't know. I couldn't really question that because I don't know. It doesn't really matter how big the glove is or how small it is. You're still gonna get hurt. We still got to look at the safety of the fighters. It's all about how good is the other fighter from the other, you know, but it's all about that, you know, it's all about, you know, the power of the other fighter or whatever. I don't think that has anything to do with smaller or bigger gloves. You're going to get hurt either way. If it's a big glove, I mean, in the gym, for instance, when I go there and practice with the fighter, we had a guy, these were heavyweights. They were sparring with 20-ounce gloves. And this guy was getting ready for a pro fight or whatever not, and he got dropped in a sparring session with a 20-ounce glove. And he wound up getting so hurt. He wound up hurt so bad that he's in a wheelchair to this day. Okay. So I don't think the bigger glove has anything to do with the impact of the blows. So.
Celestino Ruiz is our guest, folks. He is a referee out of Chicago, Illinois. Of course, he was at the WBO convention in Budapest, Hungary. And let's be honest, let's tell the world, Budapest is probably the most beautiful city in the world, isn't it?
I agree, man. It was awesome. We had a great time there, beautiful. The people were nice. It was very nice.
And guess what? Pedro got to introduce the president.
Yeah, he sure did. He did a good job, outstanding job in introducing the president of Hungary. That was nice.
It was a little stressful, though, man. I didn't know until like 3 minutes before I was supposed to do it because I thought I was just going to sing Happy Birthday to Don King.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. I was surprised to see you over there, but it was good to see you, too. It was good to see you.
It's always a pleasure, man. You take care of yourself. I will talk to you real soon. And next time we need a referee on the show, you'll be my man. You are the guy, man. Celestino Ruiz.
Thank you, man.
Pound for pound, one of the better referees in the world, if not the best. God bless you, man.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Pleasure, man. Celestino Ruiz, folks, Chicago-based referee. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Little James Brown, the godfather of soul, taking us to the break. And, of course, it's been a while since Hector Camacho died, and somebody said to me, play some Camacho audio. We will on the other side of this break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the American Forces Network, and the iHeartRadio Network.